Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Innergex Renewable Energy conference call. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique d'Innergex Énergie Renouvelable. At this time, all participants on the phone are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to Karine Vachon, Communications Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'd like to specify that this conference will be held in English. Members of the media are invited to ask their questions by phone after this call. Before we begin, we would like to remind you that the acquisition of TransCanada's stake in the Five Cartier Wind Farm and operating entities by Innergex Renewable Energy is subject to regulatory and key third-party consent and customary closing conditions. The conference contains forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws, including but not limited to statements relating to the anticipated completion of the transaction and timing for such completion, sources and impact of funding of the transaction, and strategic, operational, and financial benefits and accretion expected to result from the transaction. Forward-looking information can generally be identified by the use of words such as may, will, should, estimate, expect, anticipate, or other comparable terminology that states that certain events will or will not occur. Although it represents the estimates and expectations of Innergex relating to the future results and development as of the date of this conference and are reasonable, it involves risk and uncertainties that may cause actual results to be materially different from those expressed by the forward-looking information. Innergex do not undertake to update or revise these statements unless so required by laws. You are cautioned not to rely unduly on the forward-looking statements, as no assurance can be given that it will prove to be correct. During this presentation, we will also refer to financial measures that are not recognized according to International Financial Reporting Standards. Please refer to the non-IFRS measures section of the financial review for more information. With me today are Mr. Michel Letellier, President and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Perron, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jean Trudel, Chief Investment and Development Officer of Innergex. And I'll send the conference over to Mr. Letellier.
Thank you, Karine. So good morning, everybody. It's a great day for Innergex to have the possibility to announce the acquisition of Cartier. As you all know, Innergex was behind Cartier since the early days in 2004. We always considered Cartier as part of the family, so today is a good thing. It's a good day. We have now the family back together, and I think that it's a great opportunity for us to create a little bit of a synergy in our operation in Quebec and utilize the experience that we have developed over the years with Cartier as self-operator to maintain and be more efficient in our future development and operation in the wind sector, mainly in France and the U.S. As you you've seen, we're quite active also in the U.S. So quite happy with this transaction, happy with the pricing. Obviously, it has been a tough negotiation with TransCanada, but at the end of the day, I think we have a win-win situation where TransCanada is happy and we're happy to have Cartier back in the family. I think it's quite accretive to our cash on cash. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. In terms of financing, I think the question will go towards that mainly. The team of Beaujean have worked hard to put the project financing term sheet for the bridge in place, both for project finance and for an equity to sale of asset bridge. This is a little bit different than what we usually do, except for the project finance. Obviously, the $400 million is always a little bit of a hard work to put put in place, but we are very confident that the team will be able to put a successful syndicate of financial institutions to support that $400 million project finance in place. As for the $240 million remaining for our portion of equity, it's our intention to sell a portion of Cartier, as we did in the past when we did some acquisition in France or even with SM1 in Quebec. We intend to find a financial partner where we can create and enhance the net return for Innergex shareholder. So this is really, I guess, that redoing what we've been doing in the past. We're not certain which portion we will be selling down, but it's the idea to do a little bit what we've done in the past. As for the remaining portion, which will be something around $100 million probably, we will be taking a good look on our possibility through the portfolio to recycle some of our asset, either by selling a portion or potentially an asset. We've been focusing on creating value, and we will be evaluating the best option for us to basically finance this remaining acquisition. The decision is a little bit different than we did in the past, but we think that will enhance the total return of Innergex, and given the market condition these days for our industry, we definitely think we have this as a better solution to create value for shareholders. So I guess on those notes, you all read probably the press release, so we would open up the question period. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touch tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. Your first question comes from the line of Sean Stewart with TD Securities. Go ahead, your line is open.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A few questions, Michel. Can you give some context on the types of asset sales that you might be thinking about for capital recycling initiatives for this transaction?
Well, we don't want to be too specific because, like I said, we are going to look into what we think creates the most value for our shareholder and our long-term strategy, and also on our ability to enhance those assets. So I wouldn't go too far down the road on this, but obviously there's some assets that are more core than others for us. So, but I'll stay away from focusing too much because, as you know, we want to create a little bit of tension also from potential acquirer. We always have some incoming calls for people that are interested in either participating in directly in our asset or to acquire a particular asset. So we'll be quite open, but as you know us in the past, we've been focusing on keeping our core asset.
So just hypothetically, could it involve selling a minority stake in something you might consider a core asset?
We would, depending on market condition. If it's the best option, perhaps, but perhaps.
Got it. And then I think I can reverse engineer this given the math you just went through, but can you state your, I guess, eventual ownership target for the Cartier assets once you sell off a minority stake after the fact?
Well, it has to, in order to go through the process, what we've done in the past, we've sold down about 30%. This is probably the minimum threshold to where it's, you know, it's still painful. I wouldn't say painful, but it's still some, you need some, a little bit of, to put some energy in having a partner and creating the structure. So for the trouble, I guess that something around 30% is probably the minimum threshold.
Okay, I will get back in the queue. That's all I have for now. Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Rupert Merer with National Bank. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello, Rupert.
Hello, Rupert.
Can you give us a sense of your target returns on the acquisition and how are you looking at those returns? You mentioned a cash-on-cash return, for example, and do you have a target IRR for this deal as well?
Well, we, Rupert, you know us. We're always focused on internal rate of return, and I think that this one, after the sell-down of a minority portion, I think we would have a decent return in the probably in the high single digit after tax, and this is in line with the quality of that of the assets. What we like in this one is particularly in this one is the fact that the cash on cash will be quite quite supportive and accretive to our dividend yield. We're hoping to get something perhaps even in the double digit for the cash on cash. So this in a way, certainly for the first 10, 15 years is something that we're looking for in order to have some accretion on the available cash flow coming from these assets. This fits very well with perhaps some asset that we have in the state, as you know. With the tax equity is a little bit of a challenge, the cash on cash on the early years. So that fits very, very well in our portfolio to balance the cash on cash aspect of those investment.
Hey, excellent. And then when you look at the deal like this, what are the terminal value assumptions? These are fairly mature assets, say 10 to 14 year contract life. What's your assumption for the life of the assets and the power price that you can get in the Quebec market after contract?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rupert. What we've done with Cartier, and that's what we like also in getting access to this experience of self-operation. We've been very dedicated with the team over there, Cartier, to be very proactive in the maintenance of these machines. We're lucky in a way because the total fleet is the same machine, the 1.5 megawatt GE machine. So the guys there have been very, very good in being proactive and finding ways to change pieces without having to bring down the whole speed increaser, as an example, changing blades and repairing blades while they're still on the turbine. So they've been very innovative, and in a way, we're very hopeful that with that knowledge and the knowledge and the, I would say, the care of a self-operating team that knows that they want to keep these machines for a long time. It's very different from sometimes a third party where they don't have the ownership of the asset. So on that basis, we are optimistic that we can, with CapEx, obviously, invest in a longer period of time. Sorry, guys, there were something coming in. We hope to be able to have something around 25 to 30 years of life. Now, after 20 years, we'll sit down with Hydro-Québec. We've been doing it with the APR 91, as you know. So we have used some direction of what we have experienced lately with Hydro-Québec. So I think we're fairly conservative on the assumption we're making in terms of repowering. We think that given the fact that these are embedded in the system, Hydro-Québec will definitely be a tough negotiator, but I think that overall we'll be successful in recontracting these assets over the period of the next 10-15 years.
Okay, just for clarification, when you say asset life 25 to 30 years, is that from today or from initial construction?
No, I'm sorry, from the initial part. So basically what we're trying to do is to look into, as an example, BD Saab been in operation in 2006. So what we're saying is that the total life of that particular plant would be something around 25 to 30 years. We're not putting any residual value at the end of that period of time, even though you would have road and you would have substation and what have you. So we think that these assumptions are reasonable, given the fact that we are self-operating and we know the asset very well. We know that they are already embedded in the grid, and the local support in Gaspé Peninsula for this project has been very strong.
Great. Thank you. I'll leave it there.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of David Galison with Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So just a quick question on the divestor of the equity, or the selling the minority portion. Would you be looking at selling maybe an individual asset, or is it a preference to sell just a percentage of all of the assets?
All of the assets, you mean for Cartier? For Cartier,
yes.
We consider the five plant. It will be a minority of the portfolio, because what we intend to do is to put a project finance on the five, so to have a portfolio approach on this. We think that it'll be more efficient to put a project finance on the five, so it will be a minority of the portfolio that we would be looking to sell them.
Okay. And then just as you've been looking through your portfolio for divestors, have you identified any potential opportunities to do similar type of a transaction with some of the other assets where you own only a portion of those assets?
We've been active, actually. We've acquired Lecor, if you remember, last spring, where Lecor had the third of Upper Little Red Boulder in Fitzsimmons Creek. So we've done that. Now we've done Cartier. We have some others asset where we have a minority, and if the opportunity comes at the right at the right price, we would certainly be interested.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Your next question comes from the line of Nelson Ng with RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Great, thanks, and good morning, everyone.
Hello.
A quick one. It sounds like you're self-performing on the facilities, and you have a team of a team totaling about 46 people. Could you talk about any potential synergies, and given that you're already self-performing, is there much synergies to be realized, owning 100% versus 38%?
Well, I think that one synergy where we see it is not necessarily by letting go people, definitely not from a country perspective, but we were starting to develop another parallel structure to operate our facility, the two other facilities that we have in Quebec. So that was a little bit not so efficient to some degree. So I think that the best synergy there is to utilize the past experience of self-operating these assets and utilize them. As an example, on Shannon in Texas, those are the next evolution of the 1.5 megawatt G machine. They're 1.7. So we know them very well also. So that will enable us to challenge GE on repair and making them know that we'll be following them very closely on those machines. I think it's going to help us in due diligence, any asset troubleshooting some stuff, and keeping the turbine manufacturer that are providing us services comparable. And so if they're not performing, we will be able to then move them over and self-perform on some specific assets. So that provided us a little bit more deeper knowledge and being able to challenge a lot more the turbine manufacturer on their service agreement. So I think this is where we're creating a little bit more synergy, is to utilize that past experience and innovation that we have done in Cartier and apply them throughout our portfolio.
I see. Okay. And then just from a, I guess, structuring perspective, so on your 38% stake, like, I think some of those facilities already have non-recourse debt. Like, is the plan to, like, refinance that or repay that debt and, like, refinance the entire portfolio and try to kind of push out the term? Like, could you just talk about owning 38 versus owning 100%? Like, what's the approach on the existing debt? And I guess one last question relates to bringing in the minority shareholder. I think what we've seen in France is you had like a pension fund come in and potentially invest equity in the form of debt. Is that something you're looking at as well?
Well, our strategy is not that complicated. What we want to have a financial partner that where when we restructure the LP, the investment, usually what we have is that we share a portion of the common units, and then we would continue to invest in preferred unit, and our financial partner, non-taxable financial partner, would do in a debenture. So we get to have the benefit of the deduction of the interest from the debentures of the partner, and we get to have the majority of the cost of the CCA, the cost, the amortization on the fiscal amortization on the asset towards the pref and the common. So theoretically, that enhances the internal rate of return after tax for us. This is the typical structure we're utilizing. It's not very complicated. It's quite efficient. And the partner that we have talked in the past understand that very well. Just to make sure that one understand that the partner, the debenture, is pari passu in terms of ranks and waterfall of distribution with our preferred share. So we're not getting to have a junior position in the distribution of the waterfall. That's quite important to mention. As far as your first question, we'll be looking in all those alternatives with the existing project finance provider in our 38. We intend to keep the 38 and the 62% into, it's a little bit crazy, but if we want to have a partner coming into the 62, we would have to have a different structure than utilizing our 38. As I know it sounds a little bit complicated, but our 38 has a cost base also in terms of tax, where the transaction with TransCanada, prior to the transaction, TransCanada will reorganize itself, and we're buying the unit with a full-blown cost of capital tax-wise, so it would be difficult to mix the two.
Okay, I think I understand. Those are all my questions for now. Thank you.
All right.
Your next question comes from the line of David Quezada with Raymond James. Your line is open.
Thanks. Morning, guys.
Hello, David.
My first question here, just on the revised 2,500 megawatt capacity target you mentioned, does that factor in expected divestments, or would those be net of that number?
It's a good question. Since we don't know exactly how much divestment we will do, the 2.5 is I would think a conservative one, because if you're adding up everything we have now, we have about 1725. You're adding Cartier, you're adding Fort City, you're adding Phoebe, and then you're over to 2,700. So I think that the 2,500 was actually a strategic number just to round it up and not giving any insight on what we're trying to accomplish here in terms of selling some assets. So it's giving us a lot of flexibility.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks. And my only other question here, just in terms of the arrangement you have with your lenders, I guess related to the $100 million or so of the other asset sales you plan to do. Do you have good comfort you'll be able to get those done within the year or so time frame? And is there flexibility there if it doesn't happen over that time of period?
I'm sure that the bank will be patient with us, but we think that a year is definitely enough for us to restructure. We already have initiated some discussion with a potential financial partner for Cartier, so we don't think it's going to be a very long period of time before we can actually get into action and closing on at least a portion of Cartier. For the other portion, depending on which asset becomes the target, it might take a little bit more time. But a year is long, so we're going to be focused in doing so because we're so busy in doing something else. So we want to make sure that this is done quickly, and we'll put the resource and the effort to make it happen quick.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all I had.
My pleasure.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Jarvi with CIBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Good morning.
Hello, Mark.
I think you just touched upon the selling the interest in Cartier. Maybe in the past, when you've brought in these partners, you've announced that at the time of the acquisition. Is there a reason why you couldn't have that all structured and done at the time of this announcement today?
Well, it's partly true because in France we had said that we had a discussion with a pension fund, but it was not finalized completely in the past. So it's a little bit the same thing here. And for some reason there's a potential entity that might need a little bit more time to finalize its government approval. Governance approval. So that's the reason. But we're not nervous. There's a lot of interested party that are interested. By definition, they're interested.
And I don't think I heard at the beginning of the call, but maybe you can give some context on how the transaction came to be, whether or not you guys went to TransCanada or TransCanada was interested in selling down and you guys exercised maybe an option or a ROFO?
It's not the first time that TransCanada or Energex has some discussion on Cartier's assets. I think that this time the timing was probably a little bit better. I'm not in a position to disclose what TransCanada intention are, but I think that the market in general knows that TransCanada has an extensive capital program to invest in their core business, and perhaps this was not necessarily their core asset in Quebec and in wind. So I think that we just got the timing right this time. They were interested in having some or recycle some assets. So. And they were more open to start the discussion.
Okay. And then going back to the comment and the discussion on terminal value and post-PPA opportunities, and you talked about recontracting, do you think full ownership, 100% ownership, or at least controlling of the operating entities simplifies either those negotiations or the opportunities to extract value post-PPA?
Well, I think that given the fact that we're present in Quebec, we who knows in 10 years from now, maybe we would have acquired some other asset or some RFP would have come up. And I think that having a self-performing team in place to make us more efficient, give us better chances to be in a position to extract more value in the future, recontracting assets or rebuilding. We don't know in 10 years from now how the technology will evolve. So I think that having an efficient team that is innovative and find ways to create value for our shareholder is a good asset to have.
Okay. And then my last question, it sounds like you sale of minority interest in Cartier that you would be down about $100 million to pay off the temporary credit facility. Can you rule out any equity issuances, or is it 100% that you'd sell assets, or depending if you couldn't get the right price, you'd think about other forms or ways to come up with $100 million?
Well, $100 million is always material, but of course, given the portfolio of asset that we have over $6 billion of asset. I think we can find a way to monetize $100 million at a premium where it could create value. Because, like I said, I don't think my personal view is the fact that our industry is a little bit under pressure with long-term interest rate rising. So in order to minimize the dilution and to our shareholder, I think it's wise to look into other alternative and make sure that we keep creating value for our shareholders.
Nope, that makes sense. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ben Pham with BMO. Your line is open.
Okay, thanks. Good morning. Congratulations.
Hello, Ben.
Congratulations on the price you got. Maybe just on some of the follow up on Mark's question, and maybe to clarify something that I'm wondering about on the asset sale side of things. Are you basically looking to not just sell a portion of Cartier, but I'm hearing this is an opportunity to go through your entire portfolio and see what you can sell overall, and that maybe you can sell more than $230 million or more than $100 million. Is that a way to think about it, or do you hit $230 million and then you're done?
it all depends, Ben. Obviously we have some asset that definitely might go for a lot more than $230 million. So it will depend also on the other opportunity that we're seeking. As you know, we were busy in Chile and France and in the U.S. So I guess that depending on the opportunity and the arbitrage between our own creation of value on a potential other transaction, we might accept to sell more than $230 million. But you've known us. We're trying to build out a portfolio, a balanced portfolio that makes sense. There's some assets that are less core for us than others. So depending on the market condition, we might act quicker on something that is less core.
Okay. And maybe just on that point, I can think top of my mind, solar, geothermals, non-core, maybe it's not, but and I know you don't want to comment on that too much, but maybe can you walk through maybe as you strategically look at what's non-core, maybe walk through the thought process. Is it, first off, I got to look at technology mix, and then secondly geographic targets, and then thirdly valuation. Is that how you guys would look at it, or is it something totally different than that?
No, I think you got it. I mean, in any companies, you look into where you're strong, where you can create value, and you assess the energy and the likelihood that you're successful in some particular area. So, but I will not continue to dig into this too much, because we want to keep our option open. We will be looking in. We have also all kinds of incoming calls and interested parties. So again, I don't want to be too specific, because we have not finalized our talk, and we're analyzing the opportunity. But I think that it's just common sense to focus on where you think you can be competitive and create value with your own strength.
Okay. All right, makes sense. Okay, thanks everybody.
Pleasure.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeremy Rosenfield with Industrial Alliance. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to confirm the number for the targeted debt financing for the for Cartier Wind. Is that target $400 million exactly?
No, I think, but Jean Trudel can be specific. I think that this is a fairly conservative one, Jean.
Yeah, well, actually, and the question was asked a bit before, that we're looking at all of the different structures we could put in place. I guess, as you know, that some 38% of some assets have been financed, and some assets also support the revolving facility at the Holdco. So the 400 to me is a very comfortable amount that we can work with. We'll try to improve on this, and there's a Michelle mentioned also the portfolio effect. So that's a very interesting feature that makes an environment in which the P50s, P99s are have a different way. You know, banks will take a different view because of the portfolio effect. So that may actually improve on that number.
But, sure. So following on that, does it make sense to look at a sort of a portfolio bond type of thing rather than an amortizing term loan specific to the portfolio?
We could, but I think with the residual value of the PPA that we have on hand here, like the bank market is probably going to be the most efficient, but other alternatives in the private placement or bonds, we're going to look at everything for sure.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press the star followed by the 1. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. Your next question comes from the line of Rupert Merer with National Bank. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hello again. So you've announced a number of large deals recently. Some of them are financed with tax equity. Some of these acquisitions are mature assets. So with everything you've done recently, can you talk about how your horizon to paying cash taxes may have changed and what that looks like today?
Well, I'll let you, the magician, talk. Jean Perron is in charge of that.
Well, I think we're still seeing that there's going to be many, many years to come that we are not expecting to pay any cash taxes. And with the new financing that has been put in place, I think it will only something that will help us to stay away from the tax man for a few more years. So the horizon is certainly more than 5 years easily, and probably closer between 5 and 10 years.
All right, very good. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Ms. Fechel, there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, everyone.
So thank you, everyone, and thank you for the support. And again, we're quite happy and thrilled to have done this transaction. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.